When he rolled over, it was floating a metre above his head. There was an odd sensation of heat along his spine. They had caught it in a matrix field. It was still sucking up air like a miniature tornado. Presently, it drifted out through the wall, leaving a hole with its edges twisted into high-stress shapes. He could hear shouts outside and the whine of the matrix generator. He helped Joan to her feet. "You seem to have it all figured out," he said. "It was a sensible precaution. After your party, it was days before we figured out how to get rid of the damn thing. It was your robot who came up with the answer. You couldn't put it on a ship because it would eat its way through the floor. Isaac, what did he suggest?" They watched through the hole. On the lawn outside, Sam Heddy's equipment was clustered around the baby black hole. The silvery sheen had disappeared now. It appeared as a point in space that wrenched at the optic nerves, and the men working around it had to hang on against the wind that was driving into nowhere. Three of them manhandled a tall cylinder until it was standing upright under the thing. The cylinder was thick with matrix coils. "This should be quite impressive," said Joan. "I'm getting the idea, I think," said Dom. "The bottom of the tube is sealed, and the matrix field stops it touching the edges. The air rushes in at the top." Sam Heddy bellowed an order against the gale. The thing, it looked like an eye now, a malevolent one staring straight at Dom, dipped into the cylinder. There was an explosion. It was the cylinder, reaching Mach 1 a mile overhead. It sucked itself on towards the stars. "Neat," said Dom. "Suppose it hits the sun?" "No, you'd have a ship up there." "Then what?" "Seal it up and dump it in deep space. Isaac suggested finding a genuine black hole and dumping it there. That sounds like an invitation to blow up the universe, though, so Hirschhagen suggested accelerating it to about half as light as it was. It'd accelerate, he believes, on interstellar hydrogen."
"And end up drilling a hole in someone's planet on the other side of creation," said Dom. He was trying to smile.
His grandmother reached out and took his shoulder.
"You're not doing badly at all, Dom."
"You neither, grandmother."
"Just because I'm reasonably adept at disassociation. You won't see me when I choose to turn off."
Dom shuddered despite himself. He had been with friends when they turned off after DA trips. It was a discipline only taught within Sadimis clutches. A man could go for days, weeks, without being affected by his emotions. One or two had told him it was a great sensation. There was a feeling of icy intellectual power, an ability to face problems shorn of the deceptive rococo of feelings. Coolheads, they were called. And then you turned off, and the backlash hit you, and you were glad to have an emotional friend around to unroll you with a crowbar and put you to bed, preferably with a bullet.
"How long have you been cool?" he asked.
"Since dinner, and for most of the last 4 months. But that doesn't matter. You seem to have mastered the technique anyway, without drugs, too.
Don't you believe it?
One thing I'll ask you to believe is that I never heard that second part of that cube before. He was talking to you. He did it.
He did it for the million-to-one chance.
Oh, there's lots of ways. If he'd foreseen all this, he could have put a simple time delay into the cube."
"Lots of ways," he said reassuringly.
"And what will you do now?"
Dom tensed at the undertone of her voice.
"It seems I've got to discover the Joker's world. Half the history cubes say it never could have existed."
"I can't let you," said Joan.
"I'll be safe until I discover it. You heard the prediction.
Your father could have made another mistake. There might be a million-to-one chance, another one.
Dom, someone is trying to kill you. That was the third attempt."
Dom backed away as she walked forward.
"But the first time, I dived into the marsh and I turned up 40 kilometres away. The second time, something saved enough of me from that thing. Someone's trying to save me too. I want to find out who and why."
He took another step back and let the door slide across. Then he turned and ran.
Sadhimism, the pantheistic conservation religion founded in cold blood by Arti Sadhim, QV, the ruler of Earth from 2001 to 12. Contemporary documents suggest that he devised the dogmas, beliefs and rituals of Sadhimism in a day and a night, incorporating gobbets wrenched wholesale from Druidism, the marginally surviving witchcraft practices, voodoo and the survival handbook for spaceship Earth. As a religion, it worked well and achieved its purpose, which was solely to impress environmental thinking deeply on human minds, and then developed a life of its own and became greater than its creator. Sadhim himself was ritually murdered by a breakaway sect called the Little Flowers of the Left-Hand Path,